CliffCentral.com.
There we go. Camera's on. Okay, we're live. It is CliffCentral.com on a Monday morning. Still trying to figure out all the YouTube stuff. Leanne Moll's with us. Sia Sangweni's with us. And we are here to keep you company. And hopefully to keep you a little bit warm this morning, too. Freezing cold June morning on CliffCentral.com. There are a couple of funny things that I want to share with you before we get into Collectomania at half past. And we've got some stuff in the news that we also want to talk about. But I thought this was pretty funny. I'm sure you've seen it by now, but this bear that, like, we don't get bears in South Africa. But bears are pretty weird creatures. And I don't know where exactly this happened, but there's this woman who fought a bear. And someone sent it to me and said, this is what would happen if, like, someone threatened Leanne Moll's cats or whatever.
I saw this clip. Yeah. Sure. Look, my cats have been in a situation where there was a cobra on the stoop.
Jesus.
And my first reaction was, look out for the cats. So I really might just act in this way.
So let me play the clip for you and you can get an idea. Yeah. Because someone said this is, they immediately thought of you. So I thought that we've got to play it on the show then. Take a look. So there's this garden, and this bear is walking along the wall of the garden. And then it's got a cub behind it. And then the dogs in this yard start barking, and they run up to the bear. And, like, the bear is now obviously trying to defend itself against these dogs. But then the woman runs out and she, like, pushes the bear off the wall. I mean, she's kind of crazy. She's a little bit more than slightly insane. And she gets her dogs and she, like, runs inside with them. But, I mean, that's a brave move. It's wild. It's absolutely wild.
Crazy.
This woman is just, yeah, she's totally whacked. And, you know, the bear is pushed off the wall and she seems to be completely fearless at that moment. That's when the adrenaline strikes. And, you know, they say, obviously, like a mum with her kids would do the same thing. You know, there was a situation probably about 3 years ago, maybe three and a half, 4 years ago, where my brother and sister-in-law, they were in the Kruger Park, and a baboon, like, started to come through the window, and her kids were in the back, and my sister-in-law actually punched this baboon in the face.
Wow.
She reached back, and she punched the thing in the face, and the baboon obviously was horrified and shocked and, like, left and kind of exited back out of the window. But this can happen. And, you know, it just shows you, like, don't threaten a mom with her kids or a Leanne Moll with her pets, because bad things will happen to you, even if you're a big, scary animal.
There was a story once when I was growing up in the news of a woman who'd been in a car accident with her child.
Mm-hmm.
And she managed to get out of the vehicle, but the child was stuck under something. And she had so much adrenaline pumping through her veins that she lifted the car.
My God.
And turned it over.
Oh, wow. Unreal.
Yeah, it's really. But also, those dogs were freaking crazy, man.
Yeah, they ran up and started looking for trouble with a big bear.
and it was a mama bear, too.
Yeah,
so,
they're lucky they made it. Anyway, so I thought it was especially funny because people thought that you would do something like that.
I feel like
highly
I wouldn't
likely.
Put it past her. Yeah,
for sure.
I definitely think you would.
Definitely.
Highly likely.
All right, so a couple of things going on in the news that I wanted us to pay attention to. We already discussed the situation in Nigeria with Twitter, which seems to be getting quite a lot of attention. Tinder, which is a whole different thing. Tinder seems to be rolling out a bit of a feature which they're going to use to help people avoid seeing their colleagues and their exes on Tinder. Sia knows all about this. You've been researching this. You know the story.
I'm the trusty Tinder. Never mind. I thought I was gonna
trusty
have an iteration.
Trusty Tinder tittletale. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
The Tinder Tittle Tailor.
Yeah.
So they have this new function that they're rolling out, which is about blocking contact.
Uh-huh.
Because whether you are on the app and you're trying to, you don't want to see your colleagues. You don't want to know that your colleagues are in your business and they know that you're on dating sites.
Well, it's funny you say that. I think there are a lot of people who do. I think there are probably some people who actually only want to go on there for the sake of gossip. And they want to go, ooh, I saw Leanne Moles on Tinder now, and she's looking for... Like, I've never been on these apps. I would tell you if I had. I really have not. But if I went on and I saw Sia was, like, trying to score somebody on there, I think I'd be the next day on the show. Be like, hey, Sia, saw you on Tinder.
Yeah. On the reverse... Someone wouldn't want their business all out there.
Sure,
or they don't want to, you know, you don't want to be swiping, looking at some gorgeous girls, and then next thing you see Aunt Belinda on there. It's like a little weird.
No, yeah. It's so true. And it's happened to me before where I was swiping and I saw a colleague, and I got such a shock because you're in this very personal, private zone.
Yeah.
It's like watching porn. You don't expect anyone
you know in the porn. You know,
yeah, like if your mom phones you while you're busy watching a porn, you know, it's like a huge shock.
Oh, gosh.
Because you're in another world completely.
But also...
And that's what it was like with Tinder. I'm scrolling and I saw this colleague and I...
Yeah.
It was like I'd see my dad.
You get a bit of a shock.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, this is especially funny because, I mean, Sia and I both also like to keep our... I compartmentalize everything in my life. So, you know, there's family, there's friends, there's work colleagues, I have a category for everything. And, you know, even if you look at the way I live, the way I organize my life around myself, everything has a place and there's a place for everything. So it would really, it would piss me off if I were on one of these apps and then I suddenly saw people from work or if I suddenly saw like, another friend of mine, I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? This is not what you're meant to be.
Yeah.
There's a category.
Like, imagine scrolling and you're matched with Dory. It would be like, whoa,
well,
how did that happen?
See, I brought this up specifically. Now we can sort of laugh about it. I still won't mention explicitly names.
Mm-hmm.
But there was someone, one of our core team members here, was on Tinder and saw one of the show hosts on Tinder.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, oh, this is a little weird, but nah, I'm not going to do anything. But then she realized that he had swiped for her.
Oh, no.
So he kind of finds me attractive, but I don't.
And it might have been a mistake. Because, I mean, like, you can make a mistake. You swipe the wrong way and then you mm-hmm. give people the wrong impression. And if it's someone at work, it makes it so uncomfortable. Hell no. Thank you. Mika says, I was swiping and I saw my friend's husband on there. I eventually told her when I suspected that they broke up, but she didn't believe me. I should have taken a screenshot, but I was too shocked.
Man.
Yeah, that's
Mika, you did not see your friend's husband. That let's just say that for the sake of the friendship, you didn't see him. So, yeah, one can start to raise their eyebrows a little when you find out how Tinder's doing this. Maybe you can think that they're trying to score information out of you. But the way in which this function works is you will upload your contact lists onto Tinder and you start to mark who exactly you would like to block, should they even be on Tinder. And if they are, then you'll never be able to see them, which I think works and is fair.
Yeah. Listen, again, if these things weren't part of everybody's everyday life, and there are people who are obviously not on them, but most people, this is where you meet people now. This is like, especially since COVID, this is the society that we live in. If you want to be with somebody, then this is the only place to go, and you need to have certain rules in order to make it work. It's like you wouldn't go, you don't go to the office to date, right? And you also don't want to see your exes. You don't want to see your exes at a place where you are going to date. That's going to make it very, very difficult. So I understand. You've got to have these rules. Rules is rules.
So do you have to go in and physically think of all the people that you possibly wouldn't want to see and block them? It's almost as traumatic anyway.
Maybe you put your contact list in, and then it automatically screens those people out. You know, some of these apps can just take your address book, and they have, you know, there's an algorithm which pulls all the different numbers, and then it'll keep those people out because obviously the app knows those numbers, but you don't know necessarily.
Yeah.
what's on there.
Because I also don't necessarily want to see my tree feller or my insecticide guy, you know?
don't rule them out, Leanne. Maybe no. That's what your love is.
But what do you do in like a situation where Mika is busy with this, you know, this swiping thing, and then she sees her friend's husband? Like, what do you do? Where do you draw the line to? Because is it any of your business to be? Do you want to be screenshotting? You know. I don't know what to
I
make
will
of that.
For my own personal accord, but I'm definitely not telling the friend.
Really.
I'm not. I don't get involved in that shit either. I'm not going to be the source of drama. Sorry. Also, if I'm on one of these apps, then there's almost like a layer of discretion that you have to apply to yourself. Like if you're on the app, in order to make the app work for you, you can't be telling people who are not on the app about what's going on the app. It's almost like, you know, if you go out somewhere and you see someone, that doesn't mean you have to tell everybody you saw that person there. Like if you're at a, you know, at a bar or a club or a restaurant or whatever, and you bump into people and they're on a date, you don't go around like immediately get on your phone and like tell everybody else, hey, I just saw this person, they're on a date. I don't think that's very good. I think it's like you're breaking some rules. You're breaking some societal rules there. You're looking for trouble.
Gareth, there's also a difference between you being single at that bar or that place or the app and the person who's also there not being single.
Yeah.
So, Sia, what if this person, your friend, said to you, oh, my gosh, can you believe it? I found out that my husband's been on Tinder.
Yeah.
What would you say then?
Then I sum up my inner Meryl Streep and go, what? They were where? No,
maybe this is just me, but I don't like getting involved in other people's drama. You know this about me. Both of you do, and most of the people who listen to the show know this about me. I don't think it's any business of mine to get involved in someone else's relationship and whatever they're going through. Like, even if they ask me, even if they invite me in and they're like, what do you think of X, Y, and Z? I'm just like, you know what? This is none of my business, because anytime you get involved and it goes wrong, it's going to be your fault as well. You're going to be pulled into it. It's suddenly your issue. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be that guy. So if there's a relationship going on and someone says to me, hey, you know, have you seen my wife or my husband out lately? And even if I have, I'm like, none of my business, dude. And even if I did see her, I'm not going to tell you. You deal with her. That's your relationship, not mine. Don't pull me into it. I'm not getting involved. Even if it's a very good friend of mine. Like, no, thank you. Don't want the drama. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not interested in other people's bullshit. Not interested.
Why, Leanne, would you?
No, I don't like to involve myself in those things either. I'm just thinking of situations where, as a friend who is supporting someone else who's going through a breakup, you know, you tend to side with them, obviously, and you know, you might say, geez, that was a really shitty thing for him to do. I'm so glad that you aren't together anymore. And then a week later, they decide they're getting back together.
And then guess what? Now they both hate you, because your friend is they've told their significant other, oh, you know, Leanne said that she was really happy when we broke up. Oh, is that what she said? She's a bitch. I've never liked her. Yeah, she is a bitch. You see, you don't need to be involved in that shit. Like, stay away. So, Tinder. Mm-hmm. If you go onto these apps, here's what I suggest. If you go onto these apps, then subscribe to the terms and conditions, which you have to. But in your own head, you've got your other terms and conditions, and they are, I'm not going to let this app get in the way of real friendships and real relationships, and I'm also not going to let it mix pleasure with business. I'm going to keep things professional. If I see anyone on here who I'm not meant to see on here, I'm going to be controlled enough, I'm going to be sensible enough to not turn it into a thing. And if you can't follow those rules, don't go on there. That's all there is to it. Like, come on, why must we baby people? Why must we make... I like the fact that these features exist, that you can filter certain people out because you might not be interested in them. You can include people and exclude people on the basis of your own personal likes and dislikes. But if you do see someone on there who, oh, that's surprising, I didn't know they were on here, don't turn it into a thing. Who the hell are you? You know, they also saw you on there, maybe. And just because they've been decent,
yeah, exactly.
They've been decent enough not to bring that up at work, then you should do the same.
I see there's a message from Andrew Green who says...
Screenshots are notified to a Twitter account? What's that? No, oh, sorry. Screenshots are notified to the Tinder account holder. So if you take a screenshot of someone's profile, they actually find out about that? Really?
Oh.
Didn't know that.
Neither did I. Okay.
Hmm. So no screenshots here for your personal use.
Yes.
Sorry. There are ways around it. Then I'll screen record, or I'll take someone else's phone and take a photo of the actual screen. There are ways and means to get your evidence, but best believe, like, I think the biggest folder I have on my phone is of screenshots. And I screenshot, 2,442 Jesus. Screenshots. And I screenshot everything.
Of
you
what?
Never know when you'll need this.
Of what?
Any and everything.
Personal
like this
things?
Past weekend.
Really?
This past weekend, I just saw my...
oh God, here we go. All right, go on. Now we want to hear.
Last weekend, I saw... You know, this it was Jesus giving the scary...
Hang on. You're breaking up. Say that again.
Yeah, sorry. This is just Jesus coming here. It was an ex of mine who says that... They were trying to talk to me again, and then says, no, well, I'm not with so-and-so anymore.
Oh.
And then I was on someone's random Instagram stories, and I saw my ex in the background with his ex.
Oh.
So I screenshot that. That's just going to sit in my phone up until he comes back again. You see, you just need, you need everything.
Gathering evidence.
Jesus, you're like the CIA.
Receipts.
You like the CIA?
One day is one day. Mm-hmm.
Corona's boring, says Gareth. Yeah. You should be worried. Sia's got cameras everywhere. Yeah. Well, these days, doesn't everybody have cameras everywhere? It's very, very difficult, you know. I think it's become harder to cheat in some ways. Obviously, some ways it's easier. Like if you're a cheater or you're trying to keep something a secret, you know, in the old days, everybody wasn't on phones. But obviously you didn't have the internet, so there was less opportunity to cheat. You'd actually have to go and meet people and actually know them personally. So in some ways it's got harder, in some ways it's got much, much easier. And I think that's just inevitable. I think, you know, ultimately if you're going to go down a path of lying or keeping something secret or trying to have an affair or whatever it is, it's going to be much tougher now. You don't know what photographs you're in. You know, and you might be sitting at a little table over here in a restaurant, and then someone at a table far away from you is busy taking a selfie, and you're in the background. Next thing you know, someone's got that picture. Yeah. Kyle says, and this is a good point, he's taking Hanan's point of view here and saying, Sia, spend your coins wisely. Don't waste your energy holding on to those screenshots. That is such a good point, too. I love it. And Kat,
hey, that's just a revelation I learned a few minutes ago. I'll reassess my life, but for now the screenshots stay.
Delete some of those screenshots in your 2,400 screenshots you've got on your phone. Katu Kat says, getting involved in other people's private business is not good for your mental health. Absolutely right. Now, Ronnie says, this is interesting. I discovered my sister-in-law on Tinder. I took screenshots and sent them to my brother. He didn't confront her, and the next day she confessed to having an account.
So maybe they are alerted by screenshots.
Maybe, huh? Ronnie says perhaps she had seen who'd viewed her profile, if there is such a function. But apparently you can't see who viewed your profile. You can only see who swiped right on you if you have Tinder Gold. Tinder's privacy is actually very good. Okay. Hey, listen, I mean, again, if people are finding happiness, or they're just finding comfort, or they're just finding, a hookup.
A penis?
Yeah, yeah, a penis, happiness. Yeah, sure. Then good for you. Go and use the stupid app. But if you're not looking for any of that stuff, then don't be surprised if, you know, other people who are finding it see you on there if you don't want to be on there. Like, get off or get on. You can't complain about being on Tinder if you're enjoying being on Tinder. You must have it exactly your way all the time. It's ridiculous. Okay. Sia, speaking of Tinder, Sia had to witness by audio the loud sex of his neighbors. This was an afternoon. It wasn't even at night. This was during the afternoon.
Afternoon delight.
Tell us about this. This is now we're going to get into some gossip. This is exactly what Sia doesn't want to do, is have to listen to some people having sex right next door. Are these your next door neighbors, or above, or below, or where are they?
They're quite far away. So in our complex, we have communal washing lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done some laundry yesterday, so I had to go to our block's washing lines to hang it up. And out of just the corner of, you know, just, it was faint at first because I wasn't certain of what I was exactly hearing. And then once everything settled, I thought, these people are having the greatest sex in the middle of the day. It was about 11 a.m., almost midday yesterday. And it was just the whole thing that just was interesting to me. Not just the sex itself, but they were talking in between it. They were laughing. Had great music going. Wow, actually, good for them for having such amazing sex. It wasn't mediocre by any stretch of the imagination. It was fantastic sex. I always wanted to knock on their door and compliment them. It was fantastic.
It sounds to me like they could have been shooting a video.
After
if they had
delight.
All those elements.
Who knows? And the cherry on top is I run back to my place, and I tell my husband, I'm like, you will not believe I was at the washing line. And she says, don't say it. Were they having sex? And I said, yes. How did you know? She goes, oh, I've heard them before. So
well, okay.
People
so this,
have a great sex life.
This is what's so interesting about communal living. Like, one of my friends told me that he actually made a recording of his neighbors. And he said that this guy who's so it's a guy and a girl. He said the guy is like obviously a real like sex expert, because this woman apparently makes such a noise, and she's like, oh my God, you're the best, and she says things like that the whole time. Yes, yes, dude, yes, you're so fantastic. She's like constantly complimenting him through the process, and he recorded a clip of it. It's that loud that he recorded a clip. That's hilarious.
My Lord.
So you got to be. If you live next door to people, if you live in a complex, you are going to be heard. You think about how thin those walls are, right?
Not to be crass about it, but it was how vocal they were that was really a little startling to me. The people have quite potty mouths out here.
Some people like the dirty talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, flip this, suck this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Turn it over, pull here.
Wow. Look at you. Sia was getting an education in there as well. Damn.
And there was just no way for me to even be remotely turned on, because it was just so awkward for me, because how will I ever look at them the same again?
Well, I mean, we're talking about my friend who was recording these people, and here's some interesting psychology going on. Eleutheria says maybe that guy needs a lot of affirmation, and that's why she's saying all of that. So it might not be because he's really good. It might just be that, you know, he needs to be buttered up the right way. Esponiso is saying the same thing. Then again, women exaggerate a lot of the time to boost the man's ego. Oh, this is great. And then Winsterian Pikachu is saying maybe she's a working girl and she's making the person feel good. How do you like that?
Could be.
It's very interesting.
Good morning, strippers. Good morning, ladies of the night.
Come on, stop it with your strippers.
I'm greeting them.
You're not. There's always some kind of sarcasm with you and strippers. You really do hate them. It's very mean.
Okay, look, they had a very tough evening.
How do you know? They might have had a great evening, Sia.
Sure, Gareth, okay.
The amount of nastiness that comes from you whenever we talk about strippers is just unbelievable. All right.
Hey, and the ladies of the night who are now going home to sleep.
Mandy sent me an email the other day to say, gee, we are reeling that anyone would not tip a petrol attendant for providing you a service. Gareth, you sound like my schnorrer old uncles. How did that come up? Because I don't remember saying anything about petrol attendants. Did we talk about tipping? Where did that come from?
Not to me.
It was a day when Michael was on.
Oh, yeah. What happened? I don't recall.
Why were we talking about petrol attendants? Yeah, I don't know. I remember that was a topic of discussion, though, and then Michael ended up also saying that, like, he locks his car even at the petrol station going out.
Right, okay.
Buying something. We were talking about the safety of using your phone at the petrol station.
Thank you, Mandy. I don't need to be told what to do with my money by Mandy. Who the fuck? I mean, really, like, Mandy's going to be telling me where to spend my money. I need to tip petrol attendants because Mandy tips everybody. Mandy, you go ahead. You sow your wild oats. You give all your 5 rand coins out as much as you like, Mandy. Don't tell the rest of us what to do. I happen to tip people who deserve it. I happen to think that not everybody who's just, you know, a car guard who's like, yeah, I was looking after your car for the whole 2.5 minutes that it took you to take the trolley back. I don't need to tip that person. I didn't ask for them to provide me a service. If I ask you at the petrol station, if you fill my car up at the petrol station, I probably do tip you. I certainly tip you if you also wash the windscreen or do something else. But I'm Mandy with your. Don't tell me what to do with my money, Mandy. Who the hell do you think you are?
Oh, Mandy.
Yeah, Mandy chose a bad day. Anyway, it is time.
Good idea.
It is time for Collectomania today, and this is one of my favorite things. We get to check out people with their crazy collections, and we are continuing our weekly dose of Collectomania this morning, talking to some compulsive collectors, and it's brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. Now, today, we are joined by Quibus Skultz, who has collected things from as young as 14. So Quibus got the bug early on in his life. He has collections that run into millions, not necessarily in rands, but millions of collectibles. And we're talking about things from matchboxes to cigarette memorabilia. So Quibus, how's it? Nice to see you. How are you?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Very well yourself.
Man. Yeah, very, very good. Yeah. So you started collecting at 14?
Yes, I started when I was 14 in high school and still collecting strong, eh?
So listen, let's just start off. You're not crazy because a lot of us, I mean, I collect stuff, but you know how people are. If you've got millions of things in your collection, how did the bug bite in the beginning? Tell me about when you were 14 and you said, I'm going to be collecting this. And how did it all start?
Yeah, to cut a long story short, at the age of 14, my dad used to travel a lot for work.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was bringing home book matches and match boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And staying in hotels, eating at restaurants and those type of things. And then they all started piling up. And as they were piling up, I decided that, this is a good idea. Let's start collecting all the different ones there is. And then I contacted the Lion Match Company in South Africa.
Yeah.
And those years, I'm from Bloemfontein. So those years, they still had an office at Bloemfontein.
Mm-hmm.
And then every Friday afternoon, nearby 2 o'clock or so, I was taking the bus all the way from home, going to town, going to their offices, and as all the reps were coming in, I was getting all the sample materials from them. And that's how the hobby started. And then nearby... Yeah, so that's basically how it started, and then by the early 2000s.
Mm. So, I mean, matchboxes are not the kinds of things that most, you know, first of all, they're hard to come by now because smokers, there are a lot less matchboxes around because there are a lot less places where smokers can go. But it's a pretty strange thing to collect. Was it just because there were so many different kinds and because, as you say, your dad would bring them home for you and you thought, well, I've got the basis of a collection here. Are you a smoker, by the way?
Yes, okay. I am a smoker. Yeah.
All right, well, then these things would actually have been practically useful as well, although being a collector, you probably don't like to use the very rare ones that you've collected over the period of time that you've been collecting. Look at that. Oh my God.
Creepers.
Wow. That's amazing. So, I mean, from matchboxes, look at that. From matchboxes to other tobacco products, it's not a huge leap, right? I mean, if you're collecting matches, you might as well collect lighters. If you're collecting lighters, you may as well collect interesting cigarettes. So, I mean, for people who are interested in, you know, tobacco and tobacconists and, you know, that kind of thing, you must be one of the most interesting people to talk to. You could probably show them stuff that most of us have never seen.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, I am in the tobacco trade as we speak. So I work for a cigarette and tobacco company also. So I also grew up in the trade. So I think that triggered a lot where it all started. And that's what it keeps me so interesting. It keeps everything so interesting. And I love it. It's the tobacco and the new technology that comes out all these days regarding smoking. All those type of things. I love it all, and I've been in the trade for years, so I think that also steps in where I started collecting all these related items. Like you said, you will never see in your life again.
You obviously don't want your collection catching fire, because all those matches could cause quite a big problem. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of matches that you got there. Tell me, there is actually a Matchbox Collectors Club in South Africa, isn't there?
There used to be one. There used to be one that closed down in 1986. And then someone contacted me about a year ago and also asked me regarding that. And I said, as far as I know, there's not one in South Africa at present. So maybe we would start up one day. And also, that being said, is these days, for example, I exchange with people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing we can do now is exchanging with people from all over the world, because there's no one actively collecting in South Africa at this stage, and especially not at this magnitude.
So, Quobus, what's the most interesting thing you've got? Because you must have a few that are your favorites, right? You must have some stuff there that's pretty rare. You must have some that you're really proud of that you treat a little better than the others. So show off a little bit. Tell us what you got.
I must say, if I look at my Matchbox collection, which is actually priority number one, and the rest of the stuff that I collect only comes with as I get time as well. I have three matchboxes that was made in Sweden, and they are all dated in 1887.
Wow.
So that's pretty, pretty special to me. Yeah, 1887. Then also I have some South African stuff that's also between 1890 and 1904, 1910, those years. So, you know, things like that. And then also there were some special prints done when it came to 9/11 in the U.S., which I got from friends of mine in USA, you know, special things like that. So there's actually a lot. It's difficult to name, but those two top things is very, very special to me. And then you get privatized matchboxes as well, where a company will print your name on, for example, or the Gareth Cliff Show, for example, you know, those things. Because they only make like 1,000. Or they only make like 100 in the world. So things like that is very, very special.
When you collect, do you often get these things for free from people who know that you're into this? Or do you have to buy them? And how do you buy them? Do you go online? Are there auctions online? Are there sites like eBay? How do you find stuff?
So because I was also on this media platform about 5 to 7 years ago as well, and then all my friends, all my family knows I collect. So it's actually very funny. I will get a phone call from someone that say, listen, Quibbers, do you remember me? I will say, yes, I remember you. Excuse me. And then the person will say, yes, for example, a family member passed away, or my grandfather passed on, and he's got X, Y, and Z, and please don't you want to come and take a look at some rare things that we found here? You may have it. So a lot of instances, people contact me. I go and see them, or they come and see me. I normally go and see them, and then I said, yes, I would be interested in X, Y, Z, and they just give it to me as well. So they donate, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, but that's amazing. I mean,
money.
Have you ever found really, really expensive, valuable stuff and said to them, hey, listen, I mean, I don't feel right about taking this. Or you've just kept quiet and gone, yeah, that's nice, but
No, absolutely. So it happened, I think, I'm thinking back now, it was about 10, 15 years ago. There was someone that came to me and said, listen, my grandfather passed away. Come and go through all the things. I mean, there's stuff there. I found a 1942 fridge.
Wow.
That fridge is actually still in my house. My food is still in there, so it still works.
That's unbelievable.
So I offered them money for that. They wanted to give it for free for me. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I said, no. I can't accept a good like this for free or whatever the case might be. So I bought that from people, but very, very rare old stuff. Now, I think maybe some coins. I've got some old coins that dates back to the late 1800s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically that. But now I will never take something.
Because it's such a peculiar collection, I mean, it really is something that probably there are only, you know, there may be 100 or 200 of the people who collect the things that you collect in the world at the level that you're collecting. Because, you know, a lot of us say we're collectors, but we've got tiny little collections of things, and they're not particularly valuable. The amazing collection that you've amassed must be worth quite a lot of money. Is there someone that is going to take this over when you lose interest? Because otherwise your house is just going to be like one of those hoarders' houses, you know, where someone comes in and they're like, oh, no, throw out all this old shit. And you've collected it over a period of years and you're in love with it. And then someone's going to come along and just throw the whole thing away.
I want to tell you this one. I need to tell the nation about this one. So my sister makes a comment, okay? My sister says to me, Quibus, the day when you are not there,
yeah,
what we are going to do, we are going to find a company called Rent a Tent. We're going to cover the whole premises, and we're just going to auction everything because no one wants to go through this, and no one wants to sort everything out.
Yeah,
so that's a common thing, mate. But on a more serious note, now I do have a son.
Okay.
He's young at this stage, so I'm getting him into things as well.
Okay.
As teaching him and showing him the ropes and trying to get him into things. And then hopefully, who knows, one day he will take it over and can stay for another 100 years in the next generation.
Is there any one thing that you've been searching for years and you can't find it? Is there one item that you would love to add to your collection and you just haven't had any luck, or it's been too expensive, or it was there 1 minute and then it was gone?
There is something that's not available.
What's that?
Okay, but I guess that doesn't count, but there must be one on this planet somewhere. So that is a matchbox that was made in South Africa in 1889.
Sure.
Okay, so there is some catalogs floating around from all the previous collectors in the club that used to be in South Africa. So according to the catalog, there's print number 1 all the way to print number 10, and I only need that print number 2 to complete the whole set from those years.
Oh,
but
that's irritating. You've got all the big collectors.
Yeah. With all the collectors in the world, I know someone might have one somewhere, but I've been searching and searching, but I'll find it anyway. I'll find it.
Well, listen, it's amazing to hear about your collection. I love the fact that there are people in this world who can do interesting and diverse things like collecting matchboxes. And you've got lots of cigarettes.
Keep your mind clear.
Yes?
Sorry to interrupt you. Keep your mind clear.
No, it does. It's amazing. I also think, like, collectors are trying to... I suppose everybody's trying to run their own little museum, you know. They're trying to keep a certain area of interest alive. And because it's something they're fascinated by and that they're passionate about, to them it's the most exciting thing. How much money do you think you've spent over the years on collecting?
My friend, I don't even want to think about it, I'm honest. I don't want to think about it. There's no way.
I know, I'm the same.
There's no way.
Oh, man.
I don't want to think about it.
Because, Corbis, you have a Wendy house. You built a Wendy house specifically for all of your collection.
Yeah, so all the matchboxes is in a separate room in the house, obviously.
Oh, yes.
And then the Wendy house I've put up, that's 56 squares. It's 8 by 7 meters. So, and guess what? I'm running out of space again. I'm actually running out of space, and now I don't know what I'm going to do. Everyone says to me, go and buy or get a building that is as big as a school hall with twice the height, and maybe then you will be happy one day. Because you must remember, I still have another 40 years altogether. Eh?
No, for sure. You've only just begun. I love it. Listen, Quibus, it's great to talk to you, and thank you very much. You also have like interesting stuff that people might want to know about. You've got Coke cans from 1989 until now. So, I mean, there's a whole collection. And I mean, obviously, these things can become obsessive and crazy, but it sounds to me like you and I are both on the border of being crazy and being obsessive. Mm-hmm. I like it.
But remember one thing, Gareth. Mm. Remember one thing. Mm. If everything is neat and tidy in a way, then you do not qualify as a hoarder.
That's true. The minute it gets untidy,
that's the golden point.
That's what we have to keep telling ourselves, right? That's how we know that we're not.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're not nutcases. All right, Quibus, I love it. Thank you so much, man. Nice to talk to you. Quibus Skultz is a collector, and we're sharing his story this morning of his matchboxes, his other stuff, all his tobacco products, his Coke cans. It's once you start down the path of collecting, as Master Yoda says in Star Wars, forever will it dominate your destiny. That is exactly what it is.
on the flip side of this collection conversation, I was doing our one thing for the week over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
You know, throwing out things that are valuable.
Yes.
And my goodness, I even now need to redefine what valuable is to me, because I was keeping so much that I was never going to ever use again. I did tell you last week that I keep even receipts for sentimental purposes.
Crazy.
The ridiculous receipts that I kept. I kept the receipt from the first petrol station I stopped at when I bought my car.
Oh, no, come
and
on.
Filled up for the first time.
Oh, for God's
kept
sake.
That.
You must be joking. Those are not even important.
Why?
That is so ridiculous. I do want to just quickly refer to all the crazy, crazy comments we've had this morning. This is so funny. So Derek says, there used to be a Matchbox collection club. Did someone light it up? A lot of people saying, wow, this guy's collection is lit. That's from Carl.
Yeah.
I heard the Matchbox collectors closed because the match ended. Oh, my God.
Lordy.
Yeah, Jasmine Jagamal Holland, who was on last week. Remember, Jasmine Mulholland was telling us about her collection. She says
teacups.
Yeah, she says I want a tour of this guy's house. That's what I want. So yeah, you know what? I would love to see this. To me, there's nothing more exciting than seeing someone else in their element. Like they're in their special place. They're just loving their collection, and this is what they do. They spend their money on this. Is what drives them and keeps them excited. I love it. Makes me so happy. Monica says, it's so weird. I'm almost, not totally, of course, but almost the opposite of a collector. I like to not have attachments too much. Again, that's something, you know, a lot of people are exactly that, Monica. They don't collect things. And that's all right, too. I just love collections. So I'm always going to be more predisposed to hearing from people who are as crazy as me and Quibus and Jasmine and all the other people we've had on the show so far. And by the way, if you want to share your collection with us, you can do that too. You can get hold of us by emailing me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. And if you haven't discovered your collection yet, trust me, it's going to come. I mean that for Monica, who says she's not a collector. All right, a few other things, and there's some news we haven't even got to. Leanne Moll, I know you had an agenda of some stuff that you wanted to bring in this morning as well, and I hope it didn't involve you having to fight a bear off a wall or anything.
No. So last night was one of those nights where I battled to fall asleep so badly that 2 o'clock rolled round.
Oh, God.
And I was still tossing and turning.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst feeling. But the actual act of getting into bed, I sometimes battle to do it because I'm so enjoying what I'm doing before I go to bed. I don't want it to stop.
What do you
mean? I might be watching a really cool series or... you know, and you get to this point where you think, am I going to watch another episode? I really should go to bed. Or, you know, you might even be doing one of your working on one of your collections and you think, I need to actually go to bed. But there is something called revenge bedtime procrastination.
What is
and
that?
That's all about the fact that you so much of your day is used up with precious time for work and chores and daily activities, that when you do get an hour to spend watching TikTok or YouTube or a series or, you know, working on your collection, mm-hmm. that you think, you know what, I'm enjoying this so much and this is my time. I'm not going to go to bed now.
So you end up punishing yourself because you get less sleep.
Yeah, it also comes from being a kid and growing up and having a certain bedtime.
Bedtime, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you now have this like rebellious, and this is 30 years on, you know, you have this rebellious streak in you that says, ooh, I don't have to go to bed at 10. I'll just carry on going until 11.
You know, who does this a lot is gamers, because they'll get involved in a game.
Yes.
And they'll be playing the game and they'll be loving it and they'll be so into it that they'll actually forget that the clock is ticking. And then before they realize it, it's like 3 a.m. and they haven't had any sleep yet and they've got to go to work the next day. But they're loving it so much and they don't want to stop. And then the game takes over their life. And the next day they mm-hmm. feel like absolute shit. Listen, the worst is when you can't get to sleep and then you're lying in bed and you feel so crappy the next day, but you have a really busy day of meetings and having appointments and you've got responsibilities and you can't just take that day off and sleep. So that's always the hardest.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen to me today. You know, when the sun starts coming up and your eyes want to close and you just want to get back into bed. But so a sleep expert, Dr. Vera Sen, says, for those who feel their daytime is consumed by their busy schedules, revenge bedtime procrastination is all about taking back control of their own time, even at the expense of sleep. And this is obviously increased during lockdown because of the boundaries between work and home being so blurred. Let's see how today goes.
Well,
feeling positively snoozy.
Yeah, again, you don't want to make yourself available all the time either, right? You there are some things you've got to draw the line and create some boundaries and say, look, I'm sorry, you can't make me work on a Sunday afternoon. You can't. If I want to work on a Sunday afternoon, that's different. But if you have office hours, let's say you work Monday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., right? That's your thing, Monday to Friday. During the week, then your weekend is for you. If you have flexible hours and you are one of those people like me or Sia or you, Leanne, who have hours that are all over the place, then you can decide. Mm. Like, guys, I'm offline for the next 6 hours, but if there's anything really important, I'll get to it after that. That's what you have to be able to do.
Yeah, that is the best part about flexi hours. It's just, I work in a team. We're all in communication on various platforms. But to be able to say, I'm going to get groceries. Mm-hmm. I'll be back later, and it's no problem.
I feel guilt.
Off to go on the school run.
I feel guilt if I'm not available all the time. So if someone sends me email's different. I don't have email on my phone. But if you send me a WhatsApp and you need something actioned, you know, that's the word they use, action this immediately, then, I mean, it's very rare that I won't get back to you. But like last weekend while I was away, and we were in the game reserve, I switched my phone off and left it in the car, and there was just no way of getting hold of me until Monday morning. Oh. Sorry. I can do that. I actually can draw the line.
Mm.
CS struggles. Now, you struggle to draw
the line. Yeah, I can't. I'm about to break out in sweat a little just with the mere thought of it. But you guys have just reminded me of something on the topic of sleep. I'm going to confidently say, judge me only after you've tried this.
All right.
But I was gifted a pregnancy pillow a couple of days ago. Some of the best sleep I've had in my life.
Well,
so it was someone who was also saying, use it. It's amazing. And I thought, this is weird. That is bizarre. Why would I?
First of all,
and then I've been using it.
What is a pregnancy pillow? I don't even know what that is.
So you get different variations of these pregnancy pillows, but they all understandably are used to add extra support to a pregnant woman and her belly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're different shapes and sizes, but the one that I have really is, I should have taken a photo of it. It's my height and it's one long fluffy pillow. And what you can do is then contort your body around it. So on one end of it, I'm putting my whole face, mm-hmm. and then the other, I'm wrapping my arms around it. And then the other, I can like wrap my legs around it as well. So you have like this fluffiness all around you. Oh, it's so sumptuous.
Well, I mean, Eleutheria is saying it's brilliant. They're the best things. It's like having a boyfriend that doesn't snore and loves being cuddled.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one on this. I think it is top 10 the best kept secrets in our lifetime right now.
Well, you've just helped.
Cecilia, were you given it to someone who used to use it as a pregnant person and now they know they're never going to be pregnant again?
No, they got it for me because they've never even been pregnant. But they're like, look, I am getting such great sleep from this. Try it out. Here you go.
Well, Rochelle says that you bought it for yourself and you're just too shy to say it.
Yeah, no, it was a gift from a friend.
How would I have known, Rochelle? But no, it's
where do you
really
even
great? I would. Now.
Where do you get such a thing?
I'm sure you can get anything online.
And also these
pregnancy
stores,
pillow.
These mommy-to-be stores and whatnot.
Wow.
I'll take a photo of it later. It looks bizarre as well because I can't like pack it anywhere. You think about your pillows, you can leave them on your bed. This thing is really super long. So it's such an eyesore. But once you use it, man, so
it's also not like the most romantic thing for when you're bringing someone home for the first time and they ask what is that and you're like,
it's my pregnancy pillow.
As a man, you're like, it's my pregnancy
pillow. I didn't think of that.
Or as a woman who's not pregnant, I mean, you know.
Okay, don't call it a pregnancy pillow then. Just call it my pillow for extra support.
But people don't realize how fantastic it is to have a pillow between your knees at night, and it relieves a whole lot of things like hip soreness.
Oh my God!
I mean,
what's wrong with
you guys? I'm sorry, Gareth, but some of us get older, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm also I don't have a pregnancy pillow, but there's a part of me now that's almost a little bit jealous that I don't. And I'm listening to how Sia's going crazy for this thing. I'm like, wow, it might be worth trying this thing.
Don't knock until you've tried it.
Okay.
Hey, guys, it's my birthday tomorrow. If you were thinking of buying me something.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up.
Pregnancy pillow.
Leanna's looking for a... Imagine if you said to your family on like your family WhatsApp group now, hey, guys, I know it's my birthday tomorrow, but I'd really like a pregnancy pillow. Can you imagine what a fire that'll light? Oh, my God, Leanne's pregnant. That's amazing.
Leanne, you're turning 33.
I know, I'm so excited, guys.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well.
Do you have any birthday plans?
As usual, it's my mom's birthday on the same day. So.
You guys always do
something.
Know,
we'll probably just go over for some cake or something. We're not going to go out. It's cold, coronavirus-y, and miserable. So, I don't know, some tea and cake. And when I say that, I mean cheese and wine.
Okay. Yeah,
it
has to be some wine. So, Sia, a lot of people are saying that you've helped them this morning with your suggestion of a pregnancy pillow. Francois says you guys should do a week-long test on that pillow and then report back. So when did you get it?
I got it on Thursday.
Okay, so you're still – all right. Sia will keep informing us of the progress that he's made with his pregnancy pillow. And Ruth says there's nothing worse than an uncomfortable pillow. Thank you, Sia. I will check online and at Baby City. Look at this. People are excited, Sia. You've given us a new thing on our shopping list. Oh, wow. And here's something interesting, Leanne. You know, you share your birthday with your mother, which is a rare thing. And it means that for both of you, that day is pretty special. But Monica says, I share my birthday with my mother, her sister, and her niece.
Oh, my word.
What are the chances of that?
No, that is crazy.
That is incredible. I'm sure that's like a world record.
That just doesn't seem right. That seems like way too many people sharing the same birthday. Don't you guys have any?
And all girls.
Yeah, don't you have any variety there? For heaven's sake, you know.
And Leanne, at least you and your mother are very nice and civil about it. God bless my mother. I do think this is a bit too egotistical, but she's humbly asked, since her birthday is on the 10th of July, my sister's is on the 11th, and my niece's is on the 9th.
Yeah.
She has asked that for this year, that my sister and my niece tone things down a little, because she's turning 60.
Oh, so it's about her. Okay, I like that. Okay, yeah.
So subsequently, actually, my niece's birthday party has moved to the week afterwards, and my sister isn't even going to do a big splash this year.
Well, she says, 60. You know what?
She's turning 60, and you know, yeah. She needs all hands on deck for her. She needs...
Unreal.
So if you wonder where I get things from, it's her.
All right, guys, I'm afraid that's all we got time for this morning. Pregnancy pillows and collections and some mental wellness with Dr. Hanan Bushkin, and we'll have more with you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an excellent Monday and start your week on the right note. Cheers, everybody. See you later. Bye. CliffCentral.com.